want to preach to you this morning. This is the title of the message, You're Not Standing Alone. You're Not Standing Alone. Again, if you've been with us or maybe listened on our website, our theme for our church this year has been about learning how to sit, to stand, to walk, to run, and to kneel. I forgot that, sorry. That came first. And we preached for the first number of months of the year about learning how to kneel. And then we studied things all in the Bible to do with sitting and how to sit and so on and trust God and many things. And recently we just began to study some things in the Bible that relate to standing. And I want to encourage you this morning with this thought, you're not standing alone. You're not standing alone. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word and we ask you to use it this morning in our hearts to encourage us. Spirit of God, would you work in our heart and work in our spirit as only you can. I have your word in front of me that I can read, that I can share, but you must work in our hearts. And that's what we're seeking. May every person's desire of their heart be to hear from heaven this morning. Would you encourage us and challenge us that we'd better live for you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Here in 1 Kings chapter number 18, we see the great working of God through Elijah. An incredible thing happens here in this story. And let's look down at 1 Kings chapter number 18. And let's look at verse number 17. 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse 17. The Bible says, "And it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him," Ahab was the king, Elijah was the prophet, man of God. He said, "Art thou he that troubleth Israel?" And he answered, "I have not troubled Israel, but thou." The king says to Elijah, "Are you the one that's troubling Israel?" And Elijah says to him, "No, king, it's you that are troubling Israel. It's you. I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. Now therefore send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal 450, and the prophets of the groves 400, which eat at Jezebel's table." So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel, and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. King Ahab, Queen Jezebel, of course, were a pretty wicked king and queen. That name Jezebel has a connotation. If somebody at all has known the Bible, they think of the term Jezebel, and that's not necessarily a good name. You don't want to be a Jezebel. And she was a wicked woman. Ahab was a wicked king. It says there, verse 20, "So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel, and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people, and said, How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Then said Elijah unto the people, I only, remain a prophet of the Lord. But Baal's prophets are 450 men. Elijah said, I'm standing alone here on Carmel today. I'm one man standing alone, and there's 450 men, prophets of Baal. Says verse 23, "Let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves, and cut it in pieces, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under. And I will dress the other bullock, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under. And call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God that answereth by fire, let him be God." And all the people answered and said, "It's well spoken. Well spoken." Verse 25, "And Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, Choose you one bullock for yourselves, and dress it first, for ye are many, and call on the name of your gods, but put no fire under. And they took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it, and called on the name of Baal, from morning even until noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, nor any that answered. And they leaped upon the altar which was made." Here they are on Mount Carmel, and Elijah has made this challenge to the prophets of Baal. "We're going to build two altars of stone, and we're going to lay some wood upon it." Of course, you want to have wood to have a fire and so on. "And we're going to put our bullock on there. We're going to put the animal on there to sacrifice. And we're each going to pray. And you can call on Baal, and I'll call on my God. And we're going to see which God has the power to send down fire from heaven to start a fire there on that altar." Says, "Okay, prophets of Baal, you go first. There's more of you. I'm just all alone. You go first." And so they do that. They build their altar. Each of them has their altars built and so on. And they begin to pray and call on their God. They're praying all morning, asking and asking and asking. And finally they begin to jump upon the altar and so on. And it says at verse 27, it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them. Oh, you might think he shouldn't do that, but he did. Elijah was the prophet of God, the man of God, and he began to make fun of them a little bit, these prophets of Baal. It says he mocked them and said, "Cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is talking, or he is pursuing, or he is in a journey, or perhaps, or peradventure, he sleepeth and must be awaked." And Elijah's saying, "Hey, you're going to have to cry a little bit louder to try to wake up your God. Maybe he's talking and he can't hear you. Maybe he's busy. Maybe he's sleeping. And you need to be louder to wake up your God." And he's mocking them. It says in verse 28, and they cried aloud and cut themselves after their manner with knives and lancets. Now they began to somehow think, well, this will get our God's attention. Imagine they begin to cut themselves and we'll get the attention of our God. And surely now, it says, so the blood gushed out upon them. Verse 29, it came to pass when midday was past, and they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that there was neither voice, nor any to answer, nor any that regarded. All morning, all afternoon, they cry out to their God, but there's no voice to answer, none that were regarding or hearing their prayers. Verse 30, and Elijah said unto all the people, "Come near unto me," and all the people came near unto him. And he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down there at Mount Carmel. And Elijah took 12 stones, according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, "Israel shall be thy name." And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench about the altar as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order and cut the bullock in pieces and laid him on the wood and said, "Fill 4 barrels with water and pour it on the sacrifice." Elijah said, "I'm going to do something else too. We're going to put some water on this sacrifice. We're going to get it good and wet. Good and wet." Look at what it says in verse 34. And he said, "Do it the second time." He gets some of them out there. Now, maybe for some of those prophets of Baal or some people around. They go down to the river. They got the 4 barrels of water. They come and they dump it over the bullock and get the wood all wet. Go do it again. They go down and they get 4 big barrels of water, and it takes all these men to carry it back. And they dump the barrels of water on the altar and on the sacrifice and there on the wood, and they get it all wet. And he said, "Do it the third time." And they did it the third time. And the water ran round about the altar, and he filled the trench also with water. Picture it now. The bullock is wet. The wood is all soaking wet. Usually that's not the best condition for it to start a fire, right? But he gets the wood all soaked. He gets the altar all soaked. And now the trench that he built on, it is all filled with water as well. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, here was his prayer, "Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Jacob, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again." That was his prayer. That was his prayer. Notice what it says, verse 38. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, "The Lord, He is the God. The Lord, He is the God." Listen, God, His God didn't just start a little fire there. No, His God sent down such a fire that it consumed the sacrifice. It consumed, the Bible says, the wood, the stones, the water in the trenches, everything. Licked it all up. That was quite the fire God sent down. We see God did something awesome there that day with Elijah. Then now the people looked and said, "The Lord, He is the God. The Lord, He is God." Listen, that was a pretty awesome day. That was a great day. And remember what Elijah had said earlier? I stand alone this day. Let me tell you something. He was not standing alone. God was standing with him that day. God was standing with him that day, and God took an interest, and God heard his prayers, and God was going to do something great for him. I want you to notice something else here. I want you to look down to verse 42. We already see it, how Elijah prayed, and we see great power as the fire falls from heaven and consumes the sacrifice. But look down further and see something else. Let's maybe begin reading in verse 40. And Elijah said unto them, "Take the prophets of Baal, let none of them escape." And they took them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and slew them there. Verse 41, "And Elijah said unto Ahab, Get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. So Ahab went up to eat and to drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, Mount Carmel, and he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees and said to his servant, Go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, There is nothing. And he said, Go again 7 times. And it came to pass at the 7th time that he said, Behold, there riseth a little cloud out of the sea, like a man's hand. And he said, Go up, say unto Ahab, Prepare thy chariot and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. And it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. And the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel." Hey, Elijah was a man who he had some power with God in his prayers. And he saw God do some great things. That Elijah was able to go to the top of Mount Carmel there. And he prayed. And the storms began to gather. The clouds began to gather over the sea. And the sky became black. And God sent a terrific rain that day because of the prayers of that man, Elijah. In James chapter number 5 and verse number 16. Some of you would know these verses, but let me read it here to you. James chapter 5 and verse 16, it says, "The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elias," speaking of Elijah, "was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by a space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit." It was because of Elijah's prayers that there had not been rain for 3.5 years. It's because of Elijah's prayers that God that day brought those storm clouds above the sea and brought great rain upon the land. Listen, it was obvious that the hand of God was on Elijah's life. Hey, listen, Elijah was not standing alone. The Lord God was standing with him. The Lord God was standing with him. Look at chapter 19 now. Look at 1 Kings chapter 19 and verse number 1. Where it says, "He ran before Ahab to Jezreel." That's pretty good that Ahab's there in his horses and chariots. And God strengthened Ahab, Elijah, to the point that he ran and got there before they did. It says in chapter 19 verse 1, "And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets of Baal with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, So let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time." Jezebel, she's an upset woman. She was so upset at what Elijah had done. She said, "Help me. Elijah, by this time tomorrow, I'm going to make you like one of those prophets of Baal. You are going to be dead tomorrow, Elijah. I'm after you. I'm coming after you. I want your life." And I want you to see something. Because of God's working in Elijah's life, he faced some opposition. He faced some opposition. Ahab wasn't too pleased. Jezebel was not too pleased with Elijah and his prayers and what was going on in the man of God's life. And Jezebel wanted to kill him. You know, sometimes when a pastor or a Christian is trying to do something for God and with God, there will be some opposition. But can I remind you of something? When you're in trouble, you're not standing alone. And though Elijah may have seemed like, I'm in trouble now. The king and the queen, they're upset at me. The queen has vowed to kill me by tomorrow. Listen, he was not standing alone. God was standing with him through all the troubles that he went through here in his life. He was standing with him when he faced the prophets of Baal. He was standing with him when they had that mountaintop experience and saw God's great power. But he was also with him now when Jezebel was wanting to kill him. He was never standing alone, truly. God was standing with him. God was standing with him. I want you to see something, though. Elijah was human. As human, we have emotions and we have feelings. Elijah did not like the word of Jezebel saying, I'm going to kill you by tomorrow. And he became discouraged. He became depressed. Here he is trying to serve God, and he felt like I'm serving God alone, but he was forgetting, don't worry, God. If God did all this, God is going to take care of me now. And he was human, and he got discouraged, and he got depressed. Look and see what it says in chapter 19 and verse 3. And when he saw that, when the messenger came and said, you know, Ahab's going to kill you before tomorrow. When he saw that, he arose and went for his life, ran for his life, in other words, and came to Beersheba, which belonged to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die. And said, it is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my father's. He was discouraged. He was human. He had feelings. He was saying, God, maybe it's just better if you take my life. I'm on the run from Jezebel. And he was discouraged. Listen, we can sometimes face this if we're doing something for God. If there's opposition or attacks that come our way, it's normal. It's happened to many great Christians and men of God. And it happened here to Elijah. He was discouraged. What if you sometimes in your Christian life are feeling like I'm trying to do right, I'm trying to please God, I'm trying to live for God, but yet I still have some troubles in my life that I just wish weren't there, some troubles that I wish could just go away. You can sometimes get discouraged and think, oh, I feel like giving up, I feel like quitting. Maybe my life isn't worth so much after all. Don't forget, though, that God is standing with you. He's standing with you. I want you to notice here that God began to encourage him and to strengthen him. Notice verse 5. It says, and as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel from God, an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid him down again. There was a cake there. I don't know if God gave him some cornbread or God gave him a nice chocolate cake. I don't know what it was, but God gave him a cake there and God gave him a pitcher of water, a cruse of water there to satisfy him and to strengthen him physically. And he did eat and drink and laid him down again. Listen, when you face some discouragement, when you feel like you're all alone, remember something. God is standing with you. God began there, even through sending the angel and sustaining him physically, to strengthen him and to help him. God was going to begin to encourage his spirit and to help him. He got to eat something now. He got to rest. And sometimes we just need that too, don't we? We need a good meal. We need some good rest. God needs to strengthen us. And God was standing with him. I want you to notice something else. Notice beginning there in verse 7. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him, said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. The journey you're going to have to take, Elijah, it's too great for you on your own. Notice verse 8, and he arose and did eat and drink and went up in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights. Wow, that's some cake. It had to be chocolate cake. Chocolate icing. And we had, what kind of cake did we have the other day, Ashley? Quadruple chocolate cake or something? With chocolate chips and chocolate cake and chocolate icing and chocolate pudding and all kinds. Man, that was powerful stuff. Maybe that's the kind of cake that Elijah had. I don't know. But it sustained him that the next 40 days he fasted, he did not have anything to eat. And God strengthened him. Listen, there's no cake that did that. It's God. God was sustaining him. And God would physically strengthen him and help him. God did that. Listen, God didn't leave Elijah all alone. God was standing with him. It says there in verse 8, he went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights into Horeb, the mount of God. And he came thither unto a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. And he said unto him, "What doest thou here, Elijah?" And he said, "I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts. For the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even only I, am left, and they seek my life to take it away." And he said, "Go forth, and stand upon the mount before the Lord." And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains, and brake in pieces the rock before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. And it was so, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out, and stood in the entering of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, "What doest thou here, Elijah?" And he said, "I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left. They seek my life to take it away." And the Lord said unto him, "Go, return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. And Jehu the son of Nimshi shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel. And Elisha the son of Shaphat of Abel Meholah thou shalt anoint to be prophet in thy room. And it shall come to pass that him that escapeth the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay, and him that escapeth from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay. Yet have I left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, in every mouth which have not kissed him." Everything was going to be too much for Elijah to bear alone. But God's strength was sufficient to sustain Elijah and help him to make it. Listen, when we face things in this life, our strength is not sufficient to make it. We can't make it on our own. We do need the Lord standing with us. You'll only make it in the Christian life, to be honest, if you're doing it with God and in His strength and with His help. You want to be a successful Christian? Listen, we can't handle it on our own. We can't do that on our own. You need help sometimes going through some burdens and difficulties and some trials in your life. And you have things that they overwhelm your heart. They overwhelm your soul. Listen, you cannot handle it on your own. We do need God. We do need His strength. We do need His help. You'll find it to be true in your own life that if you'll lean upon the Lord and get close to the Lord, He will strengthen you and He will help you. There is strength for the Christian who will get alone with God and who will spend time in prayer and spend time in the Word of God. We see God took Elijah there to Mount Horeb, and there he met with God. He met with God. God spoke to him in a still small voice. Through Elijah's 40 days of prayer and fasting and going to the mountain to walk with God and to wait there for, "I want to hear God speak to me." Listen, Christians need to know some of that too, don't we? We need to know some prayer and fasting. For Elijah, there was 40 days of prayer and fasting where he was going to a place and he wanted to hear from God. He wanted to hear from heaven. Can I ask you, Christian, will you maybe be willing to fast one day? Would you be willing to perhaps fast one day a week? Would you be willing each day of your life to maybe go somewhere and get alone with God and try to find a quiet place and a quiet time in your life each day where you spend time in prayer and you spend time in the Word of God and you want to speak to God and you want God to speak to your heart through His Word? Will you do that, Christian? Listen, that is a secret to being strengthened by God. We're not strengthened by God just by, "I run about my day, I rush here, I rush there." The things of life can be overwhelming. We live in a generation where people are so busy, busy, busy. Rush here and rush there. And so many times God is neglected or He's left out or we're just too busy for Him. Listen, the journey is too great for thee. If we want God to strengthen us and help us, we need to spend some time with the Lord. Spend some time with God. Spend some time in a quiet place. Spend time in prayer. Spend time in the Word of God. Listen for God's voice to speak to you, to speak to your heart. We need to know prayer and fasting again. We need to experience speaking to God daily in prayer. We need to experience special times of prayer and fasting. We need to know what it means to walk with God, to read and to study God's Word, to read and to meditate on God's Word. We need to learn what it means to truly wait on God and wait on Him to speak to our heart. God didn't speak to Elijah through some big miraculous occurrence, did He? An earthquake? But that wasn't the God. Where was it? Verse number 11. Great and strong wind came, but God's voice was not in that. Earthquake came, but God's voice was not in that. After that, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. After the fire, a still, small voice. God was going to speak to Elijah when he was going to have to be listening very closely. A still, small, quiet voice. You don't hear that voice while you're rushing around. While we're rushing to work, while we're rushing to the bank, while we're rushing to do our chores, while we're rushing here and there, rushing there. We're going to hear that still, small, quiet voice. If you'll get alone and you'll spend some time with God. You go to your Mount Horeb. You go to a quiet place alone and listen to God. Let Him speak to you. Spend time in prayer. Spend time in the Bible. Spend time in the Word of God, Christian. And that's how God can strengthen you and help you in your life. Listen, the journey is too great for us. But God can strengthen us and help us if we'll spend that time with Him. He will speak to you and I through that still small voice of the Holy Spirit of God, speaking to our heart when we get alone to walk with God, to fast and pray, to read God's Word. We need to listen to God's voice. Listen as the Holy Spirit of God tries to speak to your heart. That's how He does it. You know, God speaks to us in this day through His Word, through His Spirit. You need to listen. God was with him. He was not standing alone. Lastly, just let me point this out again here in these verses. Look at verse 14. Chapter 19, verse 14. And he said, I've been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. But notice what it says down in verse 18. Notice in God's response to him, he says, yet have I left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, the false god, and every mouth that hath not kissed him. All the while that Elijah was discouraged and thinking, I'm all alone. I'm jealous for my God. I faced off against the prophets of Baal. I faced off here in my life. And it just seems like everybody in the world is against me. Nobody believes in my God. They've all followed the false god. Everybody's turning. God had to remind Elijah, Elijah, oh, don't be so discouraged. You thought you're standing alone. You think you're the only one. I've still got me 7,000 that have not vowed to Baal. I've still had me 7,000 that still love God, that still worship God, that still love God and want to follow Him. Hey, we need to remember something sometime. We're not quite standing alone as much as we think we are. I understand, and I would agree wholeheartedly, hey, the world is a wicked place we live in nowadays. And it's true that many people do forsake God and forsake Jesus Christ. And there is many times a hatred and bias towards Christianity. The world wants tolerance with everybody except Christ. People do not like the name of Christ. There's a lot of that out there. You know what? I see some people in church this morning that want to love God. I see some people in church this morning that want to live for God. I've got friends that at the same time are meeting in places all over this world that they're meeting, and they love God and they love the Word of God and they want to live for God. Do you know when with my leg hurt and so on, and with some I was sending some updates to people about our prayer for a church, and we're going to keep praying for a miracle. We're going to keep praying and asking God to do what He can do, and I believe He will. But as some prayer requests were shared and so on, do you know there was literally people on 6 continents, there was literally people all over the world that had been praying for me or that had been praying for our church? Hey, that's encouraging. I'm not standing alone. When we're seeking God, or when you're living for God, you're not alone. There's others. You know, I think sometimes the pastor, the way he preaches, the way he wants us to just live for God with all our heart and all our soul and all our life, I don't know if there's many Christians like that nowadays. Hey, may I say that there is. There are some that love God and some that want to live God and some that want to be faithful to His Word. And if you do so, you will not be standing alone. You know, I think, oh, well, we're just small. We're just a few. There are people all over the world that believe just like we believe and want to live for God and want to follow this book. You're not standing alone. You're not standing alone. When you feel like you're the only one, when you maybe sometimes want to get a little discouraged, hey, remember that there are many others around the globe still standing with you, still wanting to serve God with you. Through all that Elijah went through, he was not standing alone. God had to remind him sometimes, I'm standing with you. I'm standing with you, Elijah. On Mount Carmel, you weren't facing those prophets of Baal alone, Elijah. I was standing with you. Elijah, when you went to pray for the rain to cease, for the rain to come, when you wanted to call down the fire from heaven, you were not standing alone. I stood with you. I heard your prayers. I answered your prayers. When Elijah was there being attacked, and King Ahab and Queen Jezebel were out to get him and wanted to slay him and wanted to get rid of him, he was not standing alone. God was with him. When he was discouraged and weary, ran out to the wilderness and hid under that juniper tree, ready to give up, despair, he was not alone. God sent an angel to strengthen him and help him. Elijah had to learn to go to that mountain, spend time with God, and listen for the voice of God to speak to him. Christian, you want God to strengthen you and help you. We better spend time with God. Your time being spent with God is not just to be coming to church on a Sunday morning and, oh, I got some. No, because you know what? Monday and Tuesday, Wednesday, you can get discouraged. God helps, and God's Word and preaching, and God uses all these things to encourage us and help us. But you know what? I need some more encouragement all week long. I've been reading through a lot of the Psalms recently and laying in bed in different times. I've been reading a lot of the Psalms. You know, they're encouraging and marking up my Bible. Hey, you need to spend time in the Word of God, because as you do it, God didn't speak audibly to me, but you know what? God spoke to my heart many times as I read through about half the Psalms this week. God spoke to my heart as I read other portions of Scripture. God was speaking to my heart. God was strengthening me. God was encouraging me. Let's spend time in prayer. Spend time in the Word of God, and you'll find that God will strengthen you and God will help you. When you feel alone, remember, you're not. You're not. There are still many others that have not bowed a knee to the world. They've not bowed a knee to false religion. They've not bowed a knee to the God of this world. You just keep bowing your knee to God of heaven, Jehovah God. You serve God. You live for God. And remember, you're not standing alone. You're not standing alone.